Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Patricia LD Tuttle, and I wish you would read these backlist books, my friends. This is episode number 326 and a half, and today I'm going to talk about a couple backlist titles that I'm excited to share with you. Hi everyone, happy September. As I've mentioned, most of the reading I do throughout the year is for this show and all the books. Because I have a day job unrelated to books, my reading time is pretty limited. However, usually near the end of the calendar year because of holidays, I get some free time to read books I have been unable to get to the rest of the year. So I started making my TBR for that time of year coming up. And, of course, this list has already gotten out of hand. I've got a couple books in there that are the second or further books in a series, like Melissa Albert's The Night Country and Tales from the Hinterland, the books that come after The Hazelwood. I have books that came out this year or will be coming out but don't fall onto my schedule for the show, like Leah Johnson's Rise to the Sun, Charlie Jane Anders' Never Say You Can't Survive, and Namina Forna's The Gilded Ones. I also have an entire shelf of graphic novels and comics to read that I haven't gotten to this year yet, like the graphic novel history of the Black Panther Party by David F. Walker and Marcus Kwame Anderson. But for now, before I get to those, I have some amazing fantasy picks to share with you today. Before I get to my backlist book picks, let's hear from a sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Greenleaf Book Group. No summer vacation should be without a great read, and I don't know about you, but I am partial to mysteries and thrillers for my hot month reads. It's hot girl reading summer, always over here. And from the award-winning librettist of Legally Blonde, the musical, and the screenwriter of Freaky Friday, Heather Hawke, comes the page-turning psychological thriller, The Trouble with Drowning. So when author Eden Hart floats into Tucson's Antigone Books and all her dazzling perfection to give a reading, Kat, a struggling writer, can't help but compare herself. Thankfully, Kat's life starts to take on its own Eden-like glow when her literary future takes shape and she falls madly in love with Jacob. As demons from her past begin to surface, Kat's mental health craters and this halcyon dream slips through her fingers. For the fastest paced, slow burn you won't be able to put down, be sure to check out The Trouble with Drowning by Heather Hawke on Amazon or your retailer of choice. And thanks again to Greenleaf Book Group for sponsoring this episode.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
For my first pick, I have Raybearer by Jordan Ifueko. I really wanted to talk about this book because the sequel, Redemptor, just came out, and that's also on my end of year list. I haven't read it yet, but I really love Raybearer. Raybearer is a young adult fantasy with some truly excellent world building. It takes place in the land of Eretzar. There are multiple unified realms that make up the entire land. The book starts with our hero, Tarisai, when she is a child. She lives in the realm of Swana in a large house with many, many tutors and caretakers. Her mother visits very rarely, even only about once a year, and Tarisai is desperate for her approval and touch. You see, Tarisai has the power to take someone's memories if she touches them, so all her tutors and caretakers avoid touching her skin to skin. They teach her so many things, all the languages of the realms, reading and writing, but unbeknownst to her, the history she is taught is heavily censored. In fact, she has never left Bikina House, where she lives, and she's also not allowed to interact with any other children, only the people allowed in and out of Bikina House. So, when she is 7 years old, Tarisai sneaks out of Bikina House because she misses her mother and wants to find her. Everyone only refers to her mother as the lady. Well, Tarisai gets caught by an Alagbato, who is the guardian fairy of Swana. His name is Melu, and he shows Tarisai a troubling memory of his own, where the lady tricks him and enslaves him, and he must give her 3 wishes to be freed. First, the lady wishes for a place where she and her friends will always be safe, and Melu makes Bikina House for her. She tries to use her second wish to be the death of the Emperor of Eretzar, but Melu said the rules don't allow for murder. The lady finds a loophole and wishes for Melu to have a child with her, so then the child is half his blood and half hers, so that means her third wish can be granted by the child, who is Tarisai. Tarisai, when she's 11, like she kind of forgets about this or puts it in the back of her mind, and when she's 11, the lady makes her wish. She shows Tarisai a portrait of a boy Tarisai's age and commands that she kill him, but only when she loves him and he anoints her as his own. Tarisai has no idea who this boy is, and she's just so happy to be with her mother, she doesn't pay much attention to this weird, troubling request. Eventually, 2 of the lady's friends take Tarisai to the capital and leave her there. She has no idea what she's doing. Turns out, the emperor has a council of 11 people he anoints from each of the realms. The emperor carries a power referred to as the Ray, and he uses it to connect with his council siblings. Each sibling then makes it so that the emperor is immune from being murdered and can only die from old age or if one of the council members turns on him. The Ray only passes down through boys, apparently. And it is time for his son, the crown prince, Ekondayo, to choose his council. He chooses 11 other children, and then they are all raised and trained together. Of course, children come from all over the continent to compete to be on the council, and that is why Tarisai has been dropped off. I also want to mention that there's a treaty between Eretzar and the underworld, where they send live children into the underworld basically as a sacrifice to keep the demons from attacking everyone. These children are called Redemptors, and the weird thing is, Redemptors are only born in the realm of Songland. None of the other realms have to send children to the underworld. Coincidentally, Songland is the one realm that is not represented on the Emperor's Council. So, back to Tarisai and the trials to become a council member. She meets Prince Ekondayo and immediately wants to murder him because that's who the lady commanded she kill. But she does not love him and he has not anointed her, so both he and Tarisai are safe for now. They're both just very desperate for friends, their children. This is a book that is so easy to escape into, and I promise I'm not giving you spoilers or really throwing anything away because most of what I just told you only happens in the very beginning of the book. The world building is excellent. I love the lore and the characters, and I really loved that I didn't know what was coming next or where this was going. It was full of surprises. I highly recommend Raybearer by Jordan Ifueko. For my next pick, I have Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas. I have such a crush on this book. I listen to it on audiobook, and I highly recommend it that way if you're into audiobooks, but really, it's a great read any way you read it. Yadriel lives in a cemetery. It's not just him, it's his whole Bruhex community, and he should be a full-fledged Brujo by now, except his community is not really supportive of him. You see, Yadriel is transgender and gay. The way that the Bruhexes think that magic works is that there's men's magic and women's magic. So while they're loving in some ways, they really don't think that Yadriel can do any magic. Aside from that, they just kind of placate him around his transness, but they're not fully accepting. The one person who was very supportive, his mom, has died. And soon it'll be the first Dia de Muertos since she has died, and Yadriel hopes to be able to tell her that he is a brujo now. So, some background. When a brujex turns 15, they're presented to Santa Muerte, aka Lady Death. She would then give them a blessing and tie their inherent magic to their chosen conduit. For women, it's usually a rosary. For men, it's usually a dagger. This conduit is called a portaje. Yadriel's best friend, Maritza, refuses to have Ekinze to become a bruja because she is a vegan and magic demands the use of animal blood. However, she is super supportive of Yadriel, and her dad is the one who makes the men's portajes, so Maritza makes a beautiful dagger for Yadriel so he can perform his own brujex quince and show everyone that he is just as much of a brujo as any other man. So he does his secret quince with Maritza, and it seems like it works. Unexpectedly, Yadriel's cousin Miguel dies, but they don't know where his body is. It was the brujo's job to sever the thread between the world of the living and the recently deceased spirit so they can move on to the afterlife. So Yadriel hatches a plan to find Mikhail's portaje and free his spirit, and then no one can deny he's a brujo. So Yadriel and Maritza go poking around and find a necklace which definitely feels like a spirit is tethered to it. Yadriel expects Miguel's spirit. What Yadriel doesn't expect is that it's actually the spirit of Julian Diaz, known troublemaker at their high school. Julian wants to make a deal. If Yadriel and Maritza help Julian and find his friends and let them know, like, he's okay, but he died, then Julian will let Yadriel sever his tie and set him free to prove to everyone he's a brujo. You know, everyone's happy. Seems straightforward, but it really, really isn't. On top of that, spending all that time together, Yadriel isn't sure he wants to let Julian go. This book was so much fun. I adore all the characters, especially Julian. I mean, he can get annoying, but he reminds me of a few kids I went to school with. Meeting this character, I was like, yeah, I knew this kid. If you grew up in California, you probably knew some version of this kid. I laughed out loud multiple times reading this book. It's cute and suspenseful and heartbreaking and heartwarming and all the things. Love, 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 Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas. That's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you so much to our sponsor. A special thank you to my totally awesome audio editor, Jen Zink, and thank you for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com, and don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of all the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. Remember, if you're a fan of all the books in all the backlist and you want to show us some love, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other book lovers find us. If you want to talk about books or nerdy stuff or check in on my shenanigans, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheInfophile, as in the lover of information, spelled TheInfophile. In the meantime, have a safe weekend, drink some water, and happy reading.